And Father, we thank you that you have come. You've come not to judge the world, but to love it. God so loved the world, he came. He came to save it. And Lord, you are the King of love. We worship you. We thank you. Pray, Lord, that you'd give us your words tonight. And Father, that you would feed us. You'd show yourself to us. Lord, I desire us to hear from you, to know what your Spirit's saying. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church, Lord. Give us eyes to see, a heart of love to respond. May our lives be completely submitted unto you. We ask for your authority and your presence and power to come. Set captives free. May your words come forth and bring life and healing. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to just share some words out of the book of Revelations. In Revelations 19, verse 9, he said to me, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true sayings of God." I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Very amazing end time scripture, talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb and talking about how the presence of Jesus who's coming, as we see in the next scripture, he came with the heavens open on a white horse. And so the spirit of prophecy was the key to an end time revelation of Jesus, prophetic understanding, and be able to see him through the Spirit. And I just have a sense this evening to speak out a few passages of the Bible. We turn to Ephesians 11, chapter 4, 11 to 13. Christ has given gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the church and for the bringing to maturity in the full stature of Christ. And so I'd like to, just in these first meetings that we hold, to lay down just again real principles in the Spirit, which I believe God has led us to this point. Christ is the cornerstone. And we turn to the next passage we find in Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, perhaps you'd just turn to me quickly to that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. "Now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Here we have a very extraordinary passage of Scripture that Paul read. And the scripture is actually supposedly in the original manuscripts was not to the church of Ephesus, but actually was a circulatory letter that went to all the churches. Original manuscripts actually never had Ephesus in it. Might shock some of you. You look it by your face. This letter actually went out to all the churches, a circulatory letter. When you're about to die and you've spent a bit of time with God like Paul had, do you think you'd like people to perhaps get some of the gems? Some of the real gems that you've learnt in life. One of these gems is that he's understanding that we are to be fitted into a temple. And talks about it, being built together into a dwelling place of God. Of course, we understand Paul taught that Christ in us, the hope of glory. That was the mystery of the gospel, wasn't it? Christ in us. Many of us have been taught and perhaps even thought that, well, me and Jesus, well, you know, that's the key. Well, that is the beginning of the revelation of God. And people say, where two or more agree in prayer, Christ is in our midst. So immediately, while Christ is here, two of us meeting together must be the church. Well, Scripture actually doesn't teach that. It talks about how Christ is given to the church. It doesn't differentiate between the universal or the local church. It talks about the church. So Christ has given to the church apostles and prophets and pastors, teachers and evangelists to actually do the work, understand, and then equip people to do the work. In other words, you can't be an apostle unless you've actually been doing the work of an apostle. Does it make any sense? It's not because you've got a sign on your desk. So you first must actually do it through the apprenticeship, being taught by the Holy Spirit. Then, of course, when you come to a place, then you can try and equip and train. You reproduce after your own kind. So often we've seen in the church today reproductions of one of the offices that Christ has given to the church, the office of the pastor. And so we have created entire denominations and buildings around one of the offices. Others have had a great calling to evangelism and have the gift of evangelism or the evangelist. And so they have actually built entire evangelistic churches. So what we tend to have is that birds of a feather flock together. Sound right? Teachers tend to flock together and we often form Bible schools. Prophets often flock together and we end up with the school of the prophets. Apostles flock together and get chased and hunted by Sauls, and we don't see many of them. Prophets don't last very long because they're not exactly user-friendly. So we tend to relegate the church to safer options within the fivefold that Christ has given to the church. Do you hear my heart? Pastoral and teaching giftings given to the church are much easier to work with. Evangelists are okay as long as they don't get too big. So in our heart of hearts, Christ is trying to bring unity, not diversity, not, you understand, not separating out the gifts. So we find that often we have uniformity. Uniformity means that we actually gather around the same calling. So a team of people gathered around the same gifting is uniformity. True unity is when we have diversity, isn't it? How many know you can't get very much diverse than a prophet and a teacher? If you look at your hand, you'll see five. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, the ring finger, and the teacher. If you try and get the prophetic people to see eye to eye with theology and teaching, how many know it's a very difficult thing to touch your little pinky with your pointing finger, your index finger? How many know that? Try to do it just for fun. If you've got nothing else to do and you learn nothing from this entire meeting tonight, try and actually touch. Find out how much of an effort it is to touch. How many have noticed that theologians, who are the teachers in the body of Christ, tend to have great difficulty understanding how someone has seen angels, been caught up into the third heaven, and basically just been seen radical revelation in the throne room? Are both aspects incredibly important to the body of Christ? Yes. If you try and put a pastor with a prophet, the pastor says, this person has great needs. He doeth quite a bit of inner healing and the Father heart of God. The prophet's going, well, did you see that angel that just went through the room now? He'll think, well, we have the priory quite close. We could find a place for you, I'm sure. Unity in diversity means that we must recognize our diversity and still love it. If you look at your own hand, you can see that individually you can do a reasonable amount of damage to it if you smash it into a wall. So individual gifts of the prophetic or the evangelist or the pastor or the teacher will do a certain amount of damage, most likely to your own self. You may have some impact, but it will be at a cost. If you look at this, You have one of the strongest parts of the human body. What's so interesting about the apostle is that he is the jack of all trades and the master of none. Prophesy, evangelize, pastor, and teach. Do we have apostles right now? Should we have a lot more? Could every local church have apostles in them? Could every local church have prophets and prophetesses in them? Could every local church have evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Would that be quite an exciting mix? How many know they don't exactly see eye to eye? But how many know there is one gifting given to try and help them see eye to eye? To work together in what? Unity, in diversity, and God will command a what? A blessing. And if there's an act of humility in serving instead of ruling over, if the apostle rules over the other five, this is what the hand looks like. They can only go as high as the apostle allows them. If his heart is to serve, what will he do? He'll wash the feet of each gifting. In order to do what? Fly higher, further than he ever will. Isn't that exciting? The scriptures talk about the church being a body, a building, and a bride. Teachers love it because I've just given a 3-point sermon there. The bride talks about intimacy and relationship with who? The one that we love. Who are we beside you, Lord, creator of heaven and earth, one with him, prepared as a virgin for her lover. Married to the Lord. That's the bride. The body speaks about what? A living body that actually has different parts. Paul the Apostle said that Christ has given to the church different offices. And we find he said that the eye can't do without the foot. Remember this? Then he speaks about how he talks about them. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers. He starts listing and starts talking about the fivefold and saying, guess what, guys? You can't actually do without each other. If you look at a body, you'd have the mind of the teacher, the heart of the pastor, the eyes of the prophet, the mouth and feet of the evangelist. How blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. The trouble is we often find that we've got evangelists out on the street leading thousands of people to the Lord, and they're actually not connected to the rest of the body. Because there's no actual intimacy in relationship. Nearly 95 to 98% of all evangelist endeavor and crusades is lost. How would you like to see someone, say, brought into a community of believers where they could be delivered of their demons through the prophetic, discipled and taught by the teachers, loved and brought the father heart and compassion of Christ through the pastors, and actually reached their full destiny and potential through the apostolic gifting, and soar into the heavens under the anointing of the prophets? Would that look like quite a mature, whole, living Christian? We reproduce after our own kind, so who can teach and train up evangelists? Evangelists? Who could teach and train up prophets? So it's important to us to recognize us as we are in Christ, isn't it? Speaking way too long, but yeah, we'll get there. So if the foundation of the church are the apostles and prophets, the scriptures say in Matthew 10:41, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So I would like to, before going any further, shut up, get off, and allow folks that are actually prophetic to start to speak. Because if we're going to live it, we must model it, shouldn't we? I would like, before we go any further, to publicly in prayer receive prophets, prophetesses, the prophetic people that are in our midst. If you could just stand, please. Folks that know that are prophets, prophetesses, or have a gifting or calling, anointing towards the prophetic, you may not have it confirmed yet, but in your heart of hearts, you know that this is your calling, your desire. Don't feel too humble. I'll call you out in a minute. I'd like you just to stand. It's a gift from Christ. You're a gift to us from heaven. I'd like those that are standing, and I know there need to be more, just lift your hands to the Lord. And I'd like us to pray, all those that are seated, to reach out to those who are standing, and we're going to begin to pray and receive them. And so, Father, we thank you for the prophets and prophetesses that you've sent and the prophetic people that you've sent in our midst. And, Father, we receive them. We publicly, in prayer, as a church, receive them into the body of Christ. We receive them in our midst. We say they are welcome. They are honored. They are part, as the Bible says, the foundation of the church. And so, Lord, in prayer right now, we lay them in prayer in the foundation of this church. Father, you are the cornerstone. Everything comes from you. But, Lord, you say that we are built in as living stones. And, Lord, the basement of the house is the apostles and prophets. So we receive them, we honor them, we pray protection upon them, and we release, Lord, as we can, the authority that you've given them to fly, to soar, to see, to open up the heavens, to help prepare the bride, to bring in the fire of God, to bring in the manifest presence of God. We stand against every attack, every curse coming against them, every force of darkness that's trying to take them out, and we say no in Jesus' name. We want to be a place of prayer and protection for them. We want to be ones who love and unite with them. We want to be ones, Lord, who honor them and bless them. And we thank you for them, and we thank you for the gift that they are to the body of Christ. And we receive them in our midst. Blessed of the Lord, loved by God, we honor them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to continue to do this on a regular basis, but I'm just wanting to again lay down in the Spirit foundational understanding of the church. Now, for the foundation of the church, we find apostles and prophets. Of course, if you build a house, how many know the first thing you put in is a cornerstone? None of you builders here? From that cornerstone comes the foundation stones, which would be called the base of that house. We then, what do? We place down what's called the bottom plate and frame it, which is the teacher. Apostles, prophets, third is teacher. Then we put a roof on it, don't we? How many know you put a roof on it? Which is like the pastoral covering. And then we put what? Walls, and we board it up. The evangelist. Living stones, when they fit together in relationship and humility, you will have a temple of God in which His glory may dwell. And if you think the church hasn't got any structure, then read it. It's a body, it's a bride, and it is a building. Living stones fitted together. The desire of this church is to help in relationship first, recognize each other in Christ, love one another and be friends, and then to help release each other, train and equip each other by recognizing the immaturity that's within our midst. In other words, you'll see someone who carries a greater prophetic gifting. The attitude of your heart is to do what? Receive. The temptation is, well, I was here first. Well, guess what? Someone else might have been hidden in a wilderness, and God might bring them forth, and they may be in front of you. If you have an act of humility, you will not compete against them and say, oh, but I was in the church first. How dare they come in front and do something before me? Yeah, you're looking a bit scared. Everyone wants ownership and position. I want you to learn to have ownership in Christ. He owns you, and that your position at any point can be absolutely changed. It's called an act of humility. How many would like to become redundant? How many know? Some of you already are. But anyhow, we can pray for that later. But But there's a redundancy in the sense that we are willing to do what? Serve. Your gift will make room for you. If church leadership misses it, trust God that He will, in His time, promote. Not you. If you keep that in your heart, the reason why I'm saying that is because we have many prophetic people in the midst right now. But to just break something in the spirit, I would like one of the prophetic people that I know to come and share. Who would like to volunteer? Oh, Jennifer. It's a danger when you sit in the front row, you see. Now, I'm going to receive Jennifer as a prophetess in the Lord. Okay? Now, I know her in the spirit. She is a gift to the body of Christ. Now, there are many prophetesses in our midst and prophets. Okay? So don't get me wrong. But I want to model this in the spirit by receiving Jennifer in prayer and allowing her to minister as a prophetess, because we'll receive that reward. And I'd like her to minister out of that, and I'd like those who are known to us in community already to feel free then to minister also. Does that make any sense? Now, most of those that are in the church that we have relationship with have got ministry badges, so just to put a couple of conditions down, we know that some of you folks have great authority and great position in other churches and are recognized, but please, we're not going to allow you to minister tonight, if that's fine. We'd rather that you receive prayer through just the ministry team. So please allow that to happen. There's about 40 or 50 of us in here, so you should be fine. Jennifer. So Lord, we receive Jennifer. We thank you. She is a lovely woman of God. She loves you. And Lord, we thank you that she has been given as a gift to the church as a prophetess. We receive that. We honor that. And Lord, we thank you that she is a blessing, and we receive that blessing to the church tonight. In Jesus' name.
Yes, I was just going to say that's the great thing about Ian, lots of advanced warning and lots of direction, but never mind. How are we doing for time? Okay. What the Lord put in my heart just this evening in particular to share was a vision He gave me, actually explaining about the foundations, the apostolic and prophetic foundations. And you know, I've heard many talks over the years, and I'm sure you guys have as well, talking about the body of Christ and the unity and the structure. But I've never had revelation in a sense that it's sort of gone into my gut, and when God has showed it to me, I've understood it. But in the last few weeks, the Lord's given me a series of visions to kind of explain this. And out of that, hopefully we can go to a time of just prophesying over some people here. And the Lord showed me a building that wasn't complete. And I could see the foundational area. And there were some huge foundation stones already laid. I could see that the walls had been built up some measure, but there was no roof on the building. And as I was at the corner, I could see Jesus as the chief cornerstone right at another corner in a glorious throne. So it was a great sort of blaze of glory. Even though the building really looked like a building site, so it looked quite strange. But as I looked at the foundations, I could sort of see a throbbing as if the stones were moving in some way. And so I moved forward to have a look at this, and these huge foundation stones were in the center. And I could see a pulsing in the foundation stones, and I understood immediately it was the heart of God. And so God is just explaining to me that that's why the prophetic and the foundations of the prophets were so important. And it struck me, I was attracted to these stones. I wanted to get on the stones, so I took my shoes off and I stood in the stones barefoot, because I wanted my flesh to be on the heart of God, to feel that heartbeat. So as these stones are kind of throbbing and going up and down, so am I. But the amazing thing was, I wasn't worried about wobbling. I didn't feel insecure, because my flesh to be against the heart of God was the most secure and safe place I could imagine. And as I stood there, I was just rejoicing and full of joy. And then I began to see sound being released from this foundation stone. And it was the sound of the voice of God. And it came up around me like a kind of a vapor. And if you've ever experienced a fire, you know that the smoke gets into everything. And it was as if I was being enveloped in the sound of the voice of God. So there was a joyful movement upwards, throbbing with the heart of God and the sound of God. And then I noticed that the stones and the sides of the building were actually living as well. I could see little nerves and sinews in the stones. And because the voice of God was just rising up from the foundations, everybody on as sort of living stones was absorbing as well the voice of God. And the Lord said to me that the foundation stones, some are given to be prophets, but we're all called to be a prophetic people. And we know that if the Holy Spirit is within us, we can all prophesy. We can all operate out of the prophetic. And so I could see that even though the office of prophets, those who are in the office of prophecy, had in a sense laid some of those foundations, the whole body operating in the prophetic meant that everybody was in union with the voice of God. And God said to me that there was an immense power out of a church that truly operated in this way. Firstly, there was communion with the Lord, because what I could see was a whole building rising with the throbbing of the foundation stones. And in the natural, that's completely unstable. But in God's economy, it's stable. And so the whole body was in a kind of a communion with the Lord. And I asked the Lord what that really looked like. And he said, look at Ezekiel 1. Because when the four living creatures moved right before the throne, or when the Spirit of God moved, the four living creatures moved. And so God is saying, if the building functions like this, and if this voice of the Lord is so foundational, and it's rising up and it's heard by all the stones, then there's just a perfect communion with the Lord. And when the Lord moves slightly to the right, then we all move to the right. When the Lord moved to the left, we move to the left. And don't you know what it's like if you're in a room with someone who you really know, whose presence is so familiar to you? If they leave the room, you kind of know it, even though you haven't heard them leave. But you just sense their movement. And the Lord is saying, this is the kind of movement he was proposing. And I said, Lord, how do we get to that place of communion? And you, many of you know this, it's intimacy with the Lord. It's intimacy. And that's why we're giving such sort of time and space for worship right now. But the other thing, and I'm trying to be quick, and the other thing the Lord showed me was the effectiveness of this church. And he was talking about this body. If we would operate in this way, the kind of almost limitless potential for impact through operating in this dynamic. And I saw people in the church with arrows. Now, I'm not an archer, but I could see that it was an archer. And they fired the arrows. And I was quite surprised that these arrows seemed to be the works of God. And I thought, Lord, that's quite a negative image, is it not? As the arrow landed, there was an explosion, not a destructive explosion, but there was an explosion like fireworks or like sparkling gold and silver. And so it was a dazzling, kind of delightful result. And yet the people firing the arrows were doing so, you know, as if they were having a biscuit or a cup of tea. There was just no effort. And the Lord said to me, if you're moving from that place of knowing my voice, of wearing my heart all the time, and if you're all in that place, then those are the works of my spirit, which are so effective and so powerful that it's just effortless. It's just like arrows going out. And I could see an awesomeness and a greatness in the power of these works. And I said to the Lord, am I with you, Lord? Am I in the right place? Is this really what you're promising? And he immediately said, you know, that he could do more. Remind me of the scripture in Ephesians. He could do incomparably more than all we can ask or imagine. You know, and I can imagine some crazy things. I'm sure you can too. So there was just such a promise from the Lord in the power of his work if we were in that place of unity. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'm not gonna talk anymore. I just wanted to share that vision, though. I asked the Lord if I should, and he said it was really foundational, and that by giving us a picture and laying that out at the beginning, you know, we had an opportunity to take hold of that. And he said few bodies really, really operate in that way. And, you know, we're all sinners and we're all fallen, but, you know, this is an invitation of the Lord to really operate in that unity of his voice. I was just going to suggest that maybe one or two other prophetic people come forwards, and maybe we could prophesy over people. Jill, would you like to come? And maybe Geraldine. I don't know where's Geraldine. I'm just randomly sort of picking people out, or if you don't mind. But the other thing the Lord was just pressing in my heart, and I know again many of you know this, was that prophecy is like gold. I mean, in my life it's like gold, because it's speaking out destiny and purpose over people's lives. And the first time I received a word from the Lord, I was 25, and I was just blown away that the Lord saw me in that way, and that he had those plans for my life. And when we prophesy and speak out destiny, it's like the Lord dusts off this sort of covering that there's been over the seeds he's placed in our heart. And as those words come out, people begin to be released into the things that God has called them to. And we can do that as individuals, and as a body we want to speak out destiny over the church and over nations too. I haven't asked you before. So this is all spontaneous, but I just think it would be great to sort of maybe model what Ian was talking about and the gift of the prophetic, and maybe for us to just prophesy over some people as we feel led. We probably don't have loads of time, Ian, do we? Or how would you? Okay, so it's 8:30. If people need to go, feel free to go, but we're going to spend a few minutes just seeing how the Lord leads us, seeing if we just asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Is that
okay? Yeah. I'm going to go first because mine is little. The living stones, and God's been speaking to me so much about unity, and unity is so vital, and the covering of unity is love. And if the Lord just said that we are living stones, we really are. And the last week in the car, I think I shared it before, I said to Russell, the Lord spoke to me, he said that we are the living stones and we are throbbing, as you said, so I can confirm. And Russell said, you can't say that. And we are the living stones. But Jesus is the cornerstone. And, love is it. And we really have to move together in one body, as one body, as Ian was saying. If we're not in this one body, then we're going to go all over the place. We need to be in one body. And we need to just completely be sovereign and on the flat on the floor almost. That we are nothing without each other. And if we don't move, and if we don't grow each other to move in as one person together, then we'll just fall down. So we are here to grow each other. And if we all keep that in mind, if we grow each other in the Lord, then we will move in one body in power. So that's my one word.
In the worship, I had a strange picture. I saw these like test tubes, but I knew they were sound tubes. And they were like in a sort of almost the beginning of a spiral. And individual ones. And I saw, like, the notes on a key, on the music board, keyboard, the white ones. And I saw them being put into these test tubes. And, of course, they were hard, and it didn't kind of look right. And I felt the Holy Spirit was saying he wanted to change the substance of the sound. And that the new sound that was coming would involve a transformation, that we needed to be prepared not to be so stiff, and to allow God to move and change the shape. And so that then I saw that as the shape changed, all there was just like almost air, these notes just disappeared. And then I just saw the Lord's breath just blow over the sound tubes, and it was more than one. And I really felt God was saying tonight that, yes, we want to open up the gates. We want to invite the King of Glory in. But there's a cost. And there is, this challenge to us that we need to be prepared to be broken, to have our substance changed for the new sound. Because if we really want something new to break out, then we have to be prepared to be changed. And it starts individually. But what I saw, this picture, because the spiral always to me is like the DNA, something's beginning of life. That this new sound that he wants to break forth is that there are many people here who have started to perceive this, that want the change. And I feel prepared and are being prepared to join in. And it was the beginning of this new DNA structure that needed to come together. And I really felt God was saying, it's not just about the worship sound. It's about your individual voice. in order to raise a new voice that isn't about individuals, but it's about a whole helix, a whole series of people, and that we haven't seen it before. I do believe it's something key for our nation, about a mothering nation, but also across the world, but just sense that God is saying, you know, are you prepared? Are you prepared to drop the sort of rigidity and be dropped into this new, like a test tube, something different, and try it out, and be broken, because you might make mistakes and you might not quite get it right, and just to start stepping out. So I really wanted to encourage, all of us, and me included, because it's just start to step out. And the other things I started to have a few individual pictures. Did we want to move into that? The guy who's leaning down now with the stripes. What's your name? Rich. I saw a picture earlier in the worship of flames around the back of your neck. And I felt, God, what are you saying? And I felt God was saying he's empowering you in the sense of your will. You know, like Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. I feel God's giving you an incredible empowering to literally do what I was saying, you know, laying down your will for the greater will of God. And I really believe God wanted to encourage you in that. And there's a particular empowering right now. I saw the little flames there, and there was quite a few. And I really believe that perhaps at some point tonight, maybe people could just pray for that, because I feel it's an anointing and it's really live. I could almost see those flames. Do you have more?
We're just arguing over the microphone here. Just Simon at the back, who I just met last week. I just saw a freshness and a newness, a new anointing coming on you. It's like you're just coming out of a cave or out of a box. And the Lord's, you know, been doing some, protected you in a way in that environment, but you're coming out into a wider space. You're going to really begin to have your wings spread and fly, and there's going to be many things that you've kind of wondered and hoped you might do, but the Lord says, I'm bringing you into an open space, and you're going to delight in that space. You're going to be really free, and you're going to really begin to move, I don't know if you do already, but more and more in prophetic, and just go higher. I see you really flying. You're somebody who's going to dream and see more and more. And the Lord says, open up your mouth and I will fill it. That verse is somewhere in the Psalms. But open up your mouth and I will fill it and satisfy you. And also I'm seeing like a rocket. So I think this is going to come quite quickly and it's going to be a big acceleration. Amen.
Rosie, I saw long bars, and they had marks along them, you know, like you did marks, a demarcation. I just felt God was just saying increase. It's almost like I saw these marks going on, and that God's just saying, you know, you have been marked, and you've been marking out things. And the Lord, I just see it starting to really extend, and it wasn't just one bar, but more and more. And I really felt God wanted to encourage you in the way that you are able to combine the sense of really working with God's purposes, and not systematic in a negative sense, but this thing about being marked by God, and to see his mark on people and to mark it out. And I really felt God just encourage you with that. Rich, do you want to come up? And who was it? Simon. Susan and Claudia, do you want to come up and help pray? Yeah? Geraldine? Anybody? Yeah.
I think it's important as the word comes for a release of the anointing. Does it make any sense? So we're to join with that as impartation of the presence of God, the power of God. So the word actually comes with the manifest presence of God upon that. And so just reach your hands out towards them, and we just pray, Lord, for the release of that anointing, the fulfillment of those words and those prophetic words, the fire, the authority, Lord, that you're giving them, opening them up into new ways, into a greater realm of your glory. And we pray, Father, for your power to go through and the anointing of God to break through. We bless Simon, Lord. We bless this young man. Shamasiyadas. And as we're praying too, just to engage God yourself. You know what I mean? Really engage Him in the power of your Spirit, because the Lord will then, I believe, begin to come greater dimension. If you need to go, folks, we've tried officially say at 8:30 every Sunday night, we'll provide room for people to go. So, Lord, we pray for those that need to go. We pray a blessing upon them, protection upon them, the anointing and fire of God upon them. And feel free to go, folks. But if you'd like to stay, be very welcome. There's tea and coffee in the back. So I'm just going to allow the prophetic just to again call out people if they see the Lord ministering to folks. Hallelujah. I pray for you. I sense the power of the Holy Spirit's upon you. Can you come and help me, Jane, kids? If any of the other ministry team feel they've got words of knowledge on healing, gifts, please feel free to come. The mic's open to anyone in the ministry team. If you just bear with us. Such a time, Lord. Set apart. And Lord, a destiny to nations to carry your anointing and power. One who will shine the glory of God wherever she goes. Lord, thank you for the prophetic man.